विष्णु गुरुर्देव महेश्वर गुरु साक्षात परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। ओम सहना भवतु सहनो भुनक्तु सावीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। I sort of pushed that mind question aside this morning, but I thought we would deal with it in the afternoon. Mind is defined as sankalpa vikalpatmakam mana. That names objects, identifies them, entertains concepts and knows the percepts, labels the percepts. That's all. That's all. That's all its function. So that this thing called mind constantly keeps identifying objects. A human being, carpet, book. But just as in the case of the material objects covered by the other five, earth, water, fire, air and space, here again it is almost a material substance in relation to the spirit, the jiva. Even this is material substance, labeling, name, sound. The quality of space being sound, the quality of the mind is just one step behind. A particular sound. A definitive sound. Right. A definitive sound. Space is the medium for the transmission of sound. Earth, water, fire, air and space. Space represents the sound. And mind is just one step behind it. It is a definitive sound, a name. Fire, the element of fire or light, is what gives shape. But the mind again makes the gives a definite shape to that shape, sticks a label on it, identifies it. That's all the function of the mind. It's still not my mind, right? It's the function of the mind to label things, name things. You're a famous Adam who was asked by God, name, give a name, stick a name to all these. And thenceforward, all these things have come to be named by that, by those names. The dictionary has changed in the meantime. No mind. That is the function of the mind. One step behind it is this buddhi. It's not easy to translate it into English. You better have it as buddhi. Sort of discriminative intelligence. The intelligence that distinguishes. If you understand the function, probably it's easier. The mind merely looks at that girl, looks at this boy, without suggesting a distinction. It's merely a label. What is the difference between a boy and a girl from the point of view purely of the mind? What is the difference between boy and a girl, purely from the description I have given of the mind.
One is male, one is female.
I know. Not even that. Words. The spelling is different. The label, the spelling is different. But when it comes to the buddhi or the intelligence, it is then that it says, ah, this is a male and that's a female. You see, to what extent these so-called philosophers of India have gone, splitting this hair and splitting a little more, and even then dissatisfied, it's too gross. Buddhi. Buddhi. B-U-D-D-H-I. Buddhi.
So you're saying that the mind essentially is just the namer and the intelligence right. is the perceiver.
He is the non-I. That's the dangerous statement. Most dangerous statement. The perceiver is still the consciousness. The mind is the namer. The intelligence is the distinguisher.
Like the interpreter?
If you use the word interpreter in its simplest sense, without bringing judgment into it, because the judgment is done by this stupid thing called self-arrogating ego sense. Not even the ego sense. The ego sense again assembles all this. It has assembled all the material objects and the sensory experiences and stimuli. And along with that, it assembles these concepts, these percepts, these labels and these words, including the discrimination. In none of these is there a judgment. She is a beautiful person, the other one is an ugly one. She is a good person, the other one is a vicious one. These are made by this self-arrogating principle. Because these do not exist in nature. You have a male in nature, you have a female in nature, you have a hair in nature, you have a skin in nature, right? But these things called good, evil, pleasure, pain, beauty, ugliness, these things do not exist at all. These are not even labels. You understand me? No? These are not even labels. These are not even distinguishing marks. Like a bearded boy or a shaven, clean-shaven boy. These are pure distinguishing marks. One can look at you and say, you've flourished a beard. And they look at him, he's clean-shaven.
But there you're only talking like about, say, manifested physical attributes. Like how would you then describe, say, mental attributes? I mean, just in other words, just identifying them as that.
What are mental attributes?
Well, say...
You know what you are saying, really? That these attributes exist nowhere else but the mind. That they are not facts. I'm merely thinking them. That's a function of the mind, yes? Concept.
Mm-hmm.
To entertain such concepts.
But, I mean,
and it must realize at one stage or the other that these concepts do not represent a reality, a substantiality. Give me a famous joke. Here is a handkerchief. Give me beauty in exchange. You see, there is beauty, yes? Give me beauty. I'll give you a real handkerchief. This thing called beauty is merely in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere else.
What about something like cheerfulness? or that's exactly the same.
Anyway, the whole lot.
So, I mean,
you have really solved my tomorrow's problem. Never mind. Yeah.
We're always dealing with, or at least seeming to deal with, this sort of interplay of personalities and such. How would you regard to look at that?
Quite simple, sir. Quite simple, sir. Take the fact the fiction evaporates. You get up from there and get hold of something and hit me on the on my head. That's all. I go to the first aid station. I may even stop you from giving me the second hit. And then I go to the first aid station. All the rest of it is utter nonsense and fiction. That you are annoyed with me, that you are my enemy, that you are my, you hate me, etc., etc., all the whole lot.
Well, then how would you deal with your feelings?
Nothing, there's no feeling. Feeling does not arise. You missed the joke. You missed the whole joke. Feeling does not arise. I go to the first aid station, I told you. There's no time for all this feeling.
But they do arise in 99%. Why, what for, sir?
That is because we somehow foolishly imagine that all these lovely concepts that, you know, the poets entertain in order to sell their poetry are real. Huh? I read a lovely little story by, who knows, Mrs. Charles here. Anna Charles? Nobody. Dr. Charles, who is a professor in Thunder Bay, Lakehead University. He's written, published a lovely little book called The Power of Negative Thinking. You heard it here? I think he borrowed the concept from me. I am fond of negative thinking. I don't recall the whole story. I'll give you the essence. A young man who had just become the administrator of a district witnesses an open-air performance, some kind of drama, play. And a beautiful girl sails on stage and is enamored of her, really. But then he is a VIP in the district and she is probably a professional dancer or some, you know, nobody, no non-person. So he didn't want to make himself a fool by jumping up and proposing to her. Anyhow, he swallows all that feeling, the feeling that's coming up. He swallows all that feeling, goes home, has a temperature for a couple of days, confined, is confined to bed. This is all mine. It may not be in that original story. Anyhow, the story is a story. Why not a little more? And then, in the meantime, the troupe moves on. And for a few weeks, he's still dreaming of this girl. And then, the girl is forgotten more or less. And he gets married and raises a family and so on. About 10 years later, he comes to know that the same troupe is visiting the district, some other place. And he goes to see the play, Butterflies in and he looks for his girl. She's not there anymore. And then, of course, now he had become an established administrator, so that he doesn't have to bother about his reputation anymore. You know, that's what happens to all these senior people, all included. You build up all your reputation when you are young, and then afterwards you don't care about anything. Right. after all this is over, after the play was over, the manager or somebody came to thank him for gracing the occasion. You know gracing the occasion? Mm-hmm. Like the cows do in the day. Gracing the occasion. And very casually, he says, what happened to that that nice-looking girl who played the heroine, those days? Very soon after we left this place, he had smallpox and passed away. He? Now, change the story in your own mind. And this young administrator was so taken up by this girl and jumps up and says, come on. He says, sorry, my friend, I'm not a girl. The bubble would have been pricked then and there, and the whole thing would have disappeared. That is what self-knowledge does to you. The moment I come to grips with the fact, the truth, then the feeling is not there. The emotion is not there.
Is all emotion released when you see the facts?
And then, see, look at it, look at it. Look at the fact as it is. We are not, now again, the word emotion is heavily loaded. You may still act, you may react, you may do all sorts of things. Apparently moved by some emotion. But that foolish feeling that we were referring to is not there. When you hit me with this iron bar, I may stop you. I may twist your arm and push you away. I may not. That's a different story. And then I may go and have my injury dressed. But this thing called the feeling of hurt, I'm hurt, not physically, psychologically, and the feeling, the hostility and the grudge I bear now, that you must have hated me, you must have been waiting for an opportunity, all that is gone.
How come?
All that is fiction. I realize that all that is fiction. The only fact is that he got up and hit me. The rest of it is fiction.
You just stop the thoughts from going on from the data, so to speak.
There's nothing there. There's no thought.
I mean, even if he had been planning it for 2 weeks before...
How do I know?
But... it doesn't matter. It's the value judgment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's his problem, not mine.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been planning for the past 2 weeks and I go to bed for 2 weeks. That's what cancels one. That's not a very serious thing. Huh? I'm confined to bed for 2 weeks.
And you say that all emotions is illusion.
Not all emotions. Not all emotions. Once again, look at them. Look at them merely factually. A certain form of emotion we have to distinguish from the type of emotion we are talking about. When our friend was standing on the edge of the chair, the whole body begins to tremble. that is different from the emotion called fear. In the same way, you are walking along, you see a cobra or something, jump off. That is different from the emotion called fear. Fear is something, you know, you are walking in the along near the bush and you think that some, I definite that somebody is crouching there, waiting for me to, that sort of thing.
Expecting something to be.
Well, I mean, for instance, before your child was born, you were expecting that this expecting is that different from that expecting. Right? Thank you. That is a factual expecting. Expecting to find a robber in the bush is false expecting.
Yeah,
that's
it. It's not based on fact.
Right.
Well, sometimes he's there.
But, if you are not expecting him to be there, you will act spontaneously and beautifully. When he is there.
But one night, somebody tried to get into where I was living.
Yeah.
And he tried.
Yes.
And I expected.
At other times, your husband has done that. So what? That's not serious. Yeah? You expected what? Then you get paralyzed.
That he would succeed.
Huh?
That he would succeed and get in.
No, no. If you go near a bush or something, expecting that somebody would spring upon you, you are already paralyzed. So that if there is even a sound of a leaves rustling, you collapse.
Yeah, it's not an effect.
So if you do not expect anything to happen, then all your energies, 103% of your energies, are available for any eventuality. Somebody springs up and immediately you respond. If you do not expect. I'll ask him to stand on the chair, on the edge of the chair if you like it. Immediately it responds.
Yeah.
Something deep within. If he expects to fall, he falls and injures himself. If he does not expect to fall, if he does not expect to be attacked, he is there. It is the whole of him. And all that judgment, hope, despair, fear, anticipation, all that belongs to that central element, the fictitious element, called the self-arrogating ego sense. Arrogating in the sense of assuming. And that thing works only on assumptions. It is no time at all for facts and reality. Because all the rest is reality. All the rest is part of reality. If reality can be, you know, considered to have parts.
When you say to face the unreality?
No.
Is that
to realize the unreal is the unreal.
Is that realizing that this
that thing, this thing does not exist, right? Doesn't exist.
Self-arrogating.
Yeah, the self-arrogating thing, ego or whatever it is non-existent.
Meaning to admit it to yourself that this I function like that, so
yeah, that's the whole yoga. Not merely admitting to myself in a verbally.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole yoga. That is what we discussed in the Hatha Yoga. That there is this intelligence which is beyond the me. And therefore the me is not the controller. The me is not the governor. And here again, in Karma Yoga, we come face to face with that. The me is not there. The me is not the doer. The me is not the experiencer. The self-arrogating me, let's call it. Just for our discussion. The ego sense is real. The ego sense, for the purpose of our discussion now, is real. It is the mere, the coordinator, the synthesizer, the gatherer of physical as well as psychological data. But the self-arrogating me is non-existent. He is not, the self-arrogating me is neither the experiencer nor the doer. The doer and the experiencer, or whatever it is, being the intelligence, the consciousness, the cosmic consciousness, the jiva, which is one with the cosmic consciousness.
Is that ego sense the same as buddhi?
The ego sense?
Without the self-arrogant.
Without the me.
Right.
We have decided to call it the me. Right? Just for our discussion. We have decided to call the self-arrogating principle me. Is the ego sense the same as buddhi? No. No, no.
Is it the same as the mind?
It is the director in the whole show. Director is one who does nothing.
He directs.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you employ me as a sort of messenger boy here, as a caretaker, I sit in a bunk outside the ashram, and someone comes along. Where can I see Terence? You go there. Another person comes along. Where is the kitchen? There. Another person comes along. Where is the guest house? There. That's called the director. He performs no functions, and yet he has all the information at his fingertips.
And that would be the ego sense.
That would be the ego sense.
And that is different from mind and buddhi?
Yeah, mind has a distinct function of its own. Mind produces concepts, percepts, registers percepts, coordinates all these. No, the coordinating principle is the ego sense, according to this classification. The buddhi is something which says that is a female and that is a male. And this is a tree, and that is a building.
That's intelligence.
That's intelligence. Buddhi, yeah, right. The ego sense merely assembles all these things, put them together.